I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Investpodden.
This is Investpodden with Ronja and Ted. And today we have two fine ladies from Norrsken Foundation here. Tove and Agathe, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hello. We're super excited to talk to you because you and I have met before, and I know that you have a lot of opinions about this industry, which is amazing. So let's get started. What is Norrsken, Tove?
Yeah, so Norrsken Foundation was founded about 2 years ago now by Niklas Adalbert, who was one of the co-founders of Klarna. And his ambition with Norrsken is really to use both the capital that he gained through that journey, but also his experience as an entrepreneur, and especially within tech, to help make the world a better place. So our vision is to optimize the world for people and planet. And today we work towards that vision in three ways. So we have the Norrsken House here in Stockholm, where we host 350 members from 120 different companies and organizations, all also working towards that vision. We have two in-house initiatives, which is basically companies that we have started and founded and built a team around ourselves with super strong impact, quite high risk. And then we have the Norrsken Founders Fund, which is basically our investment vehicle. So that's Norrsken today.
You talk about investing with impact. What is that, Agathe?
It's really combining and finding companies that make a positive impact on people and planet. And us as an investor, we're really focused on finding cases where you can combine both impact and profit. And we still today find that there's huge misconception in the industry as a whole that social entrepreneurship is not for return-focused investors. So in a way that we see that with the Norrsken Founders Fund, one of our missions is also to prove that those are not mutually exclusive things, that you can really combine both impact and profit. So those are the cases that we're focused on today, to really find companies that somehow make our lives better.
So let's get rid of that misconception once for all. What's the return of the investments you're looking at? What kind of return are you looking for?
So we look for commercial returns similar to any other venture capital investors.
Which is?
Most venture capital funds will target 20% or so IRR over their lifetime.
In a fund, yes. But it will be basically 10 times the money for each and every one of the ventures. Is that the same for you guys?
So we make our own assumptions. In the end of the day, we're early stage investors. And as much as we believe that every single case has the potential to succeed, we know that the statistics in the entrepreneurs space are scary. So we very much know that that roughly half of the companies we invest today may not do as well as we think. But as long as you have few true success cases, you can still deliver those fund returns.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way for all VCs. Right, but I just wanted to get rid of the misconception that you're still looking for like the 5 to 10 returns on each and every case, but on the fund level, the 20%, that's what you get.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
How many companies have you invested in so far?
So we now have 13 companies in our portfolio. So the fund went operational about a year ago, and we've done 10 investments approximately during the first 12 months.
And wow. How much money do you invest? What's the smallest ticket size and the biggest ticket size?
So our initial investment is typically between 3 and 5 million SEK.
Is that an idea, or is it when you have traction, proof of concept?
So then it's typically when you have proof of concept. So you have typically had friends and family around and sort of built an MVP and try that out on a smaller sample or a smaller customer group. And then you raise the seed round, and then that's typically when we come in.
And then what was the maximum amount that you would invest?
So, I mean, it very much depends on, of course, how the company develops. But we with the companies that perform very well, we are hoping to invest up to 20 million or something.
Kroners or?
Kroners.
Yeah, just money bags. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. But it's also very much needed before you actually get that traction. Yeah,
that's true.
And we see that whenever we talk to entrepreneurs, the ability to follow on is extremely important to entrepreneurs. And as well, one of the, I guess, industry-wide shared knowledge is that the best companies, they choose investors. And when they choose investors, the ability to follow on through multiple rounds is extremely, extremely important.
Where does this fund come from? Is this just Niklas, or is this several people, or where does the money come from?
So we have 4 investors in the fund, and Niklas is, of course, one of them. But it's 4 unicorn founders. So it's Sebastian Knutsson from King, it's Carl Manne from Mojang, and it's Philip Tesander from Daniel Wellington Watches.
That's a lot of experience. Do you get one-on-one meetings with them if you get an investment from the foundation?
You can get.
No promises made.
Exactly. Yeah,
but it's advisory board or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, Niklas is of course the one who's most involved, and he has met all of our portfolio companies. And then the other investors we invite for Founders Summit, where we collect all our founders, and they get to meet them then.
Wow, that's amazing. And especially what you said, Ronja, with all the experience that you can pull together, and also with all the other companies you have at Norrsken, at Norrsken House. So we established that the returns are the same as for VCs or anyone else in this step. What's the criteria? I mean, what does it mean to be a social entrepreneur in your terms? What's the other criteria?
The most important criteria is really that the impact that the company is creating is deeply, deeply embedded within the business model, that for every single unit of sales, you're also creating a unit of impact. And the cases that we love especially much is where the business model is truly disrupting an existing value chain. The best example that we have is food waste. So we have done quite a few investments in the food waste value chain. None of these companies are competing with each other, but each one of them are really disrupting the value chain. So we have at the bottom of the chain, we have a company called Ignitia, which is providing better weather forecasting for small-scale farmers in tropical climates. Farmers depend on weather forecasts, so if we can improve that, we can improve the farming yield, so we grow food more. So again, hugely disruptive in that sense. We're investors in MatSmart, that again are addressing food waste at the food producer level. We're investors in Y.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Waste, that's dealing with food waste at grocery stores. We're investors in Karma, addressing restaurant food waste. And just recently, we invested in a company called Olio, which is addressing food waste in our fridges.
Wow.
And we love these cases where challenges are addressed in a systematic way, that these business models are there to stay. And
that's incredible. And I mean, for, I know you, Ron, you're very into eating the right kind of foods, nutritions and things, but there's been this big discussions about the GMOs and the manipulating the genes of things, but actually the real problem turns out to be transportation and logistics and other things. And by addressing those things, we might even get healthier people, might be a lot of other things as well. Really cool. I can really see why you guys are addressing those issues.
What did you do before this?
Personally?
How do you get into this?
How did we get here? So I studied at the Stockholm School of Economics. After studying there, I mean, it's basically two routes you can go. Either you go to management consulting or you go to investment banking. I chose management consulting and spent 5 years at Bain & Company. During one of those years, I was on a secondment for the World Childhood Foundation. And I think that's when I realized, you know, the magic that can happen when you combine business frameworks and business thinking in a more purpose-driven organization. And that really made me realize that this is what I want to do. So after that, I really strived to find more assignments in that space. And before I joined Norsken, I was working for Inkludera Invest, which is another organization supporting social entrepreneurs, helping them really find financial sustainability and make them scalable. So I worked there for 5 years before joining Norsken.
Great. And what about you? I know you lived in London for 12 years.
Yeah, exactly. So I studied and worked in London and New York for 12 years before moving to Sweden. And my background is, as Tove said, coming out of a business school, you know, there were two routes, the banking and consulting. I went for the other one. I went for the banking route. So I started my career at Morgan Stanley in investment banking and then later moved into private equity investing, which I did for 6 years. But I have always had entrepreneurship in the back of my mind. And then I was finally responding to the calling and was crazy enough to join two founders who were just thinking about starting a fintech real estate investment platform. So I joined them as the first employee partner, and together we launched a company called Brickvest. And I was part of the journey from growing the company from zero to 40 employees, doing pretty much every role under the sun, as you do when you're part of the startup. And we raised $9 million Series A round. Now the company is in the Series B stage. But subsequently, I wanted to move to Sweden. My husband is Swedish, so that's how I ended up here. And how I ended up with Norsken was that first I was thinking that, okay, I know investing, I know startups, now I really want to do venture capital. And so I started to look around, talk to people, and very quickly found Norsken. And up until then, I didn't know that you can do what we do for a living. The impact and those kind of themes have been huge, personal, free time, hobby. And when I saw the role at Norsken, I was like, I can really do this for a living? I mean, this is crazy.
They will pay me to do this.
Exactly.
But a great experience you guys can with. It must be a big resource for the companies.
Yeah, because you're a small team as well doing this.
Yeah.
It's just the two of you, right?
It's the two of us doing the day-to-day work. And then we have a lot of experienced people around us that we can go to for advice.
But how many companies do you go through, like in a week or a month or something?
We put together our quarterly pipeline, and that's typically between 150 and 200 companies that we look at each quarter.
That's a lot.
It is.
Okay, so there's one thing that I've been thinking about lately, and I'm sure you've seen this, Ted, and you guys, that each company that I talk to, even though it isn't really social entrepreneurship and it isn't really impact, but they're trying to spin it that way. Do you see that a lot? Because yesterday I talked to a company and they were like, well, we really focus and we're doing this thing, but we for us, it's really important that it's equal. We both want to hire men and women.
Surprise, surprise. Yes.
And I was like, great, good on you. And we try to only buy organic stuff for our fridge at the office. I'm like, awesome, which really doesn't have anything to do with the business. Do you see this a lot?
Yeah, we do get some cases where, you know, you really try to tweak the impact
angle. Do you
have
a fun story there, maybe?
No, not a particular story, but I mean, people say like, yeah, we create jobs. It's quite common.
And no, that's impact. I mean, yeah.
So that's one example, but I don't think we have a super creative story about it.
Yeah, but it's a tough question, and that's the question that we deal with every single day, because in the end of the day, startups do solve problems. If you are not solving a problem, you don't have a business case. So in that sense, of course, every single startup is creating impact in some shape or form. So then usually our response to that is that, you know, yes, there is economic impact, but at the moment, you know, our priorities are in different categories like healthcare, education, financial inclusion, etc., etc. So I think now we think more about, we don't want to say that, no, you're not creating impact. Now we're more saying that, you know, it doesn't fall within our focus areas at this very moment.
So sorry, just you triggered me a little bit about the focus areas, because I would have thought like a natural sort of the next step or third step, or maybe next year or 5 years, I don't know, that you guys would look at what are the biggest problems in the world and how do we gather the best brains around entrepreneurship to try to solve those problems. Do you go that way, or do you actually mostly, like the rest of us VCs and investors, look at what's out there and then see if it fits?
At the moment, we're more opportunity-led. That again, we have the areas that we're passionate about, but in the end of the day, the pipeline is more opportunistic in that way. But there certainly are industries where we don't see enough solutions. And then whenever we are on occasions like this or on the stage, we say, please create more solutions in this space. You know, take the industry, rip it apart, identify the challenges, and come up with solutions.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about like your experience from Bain and as management consultant as well, and your experience that it would be easy, well, not easy, it's always difficult, but an easy way to say that this is where we have the most impact on the humanity for right now. And that leads me to the second question, which is, do you only invest in Swedish companies?
No, so we have a Nordic focus, but we...
And Baltic maybe, or just Nordic?
Could be Baltic, even we have Agatha on the team.
I just had to ask that.
Exactly. Yeah. But we also have done a couple of international investments, so two investments out of the UK, and we have quite a broad mandate, so if we find something super exciting, we are going to pitch it to our investment committee.
Excellent. So if there's a real cool solution there for a big impact humanity problem... Oh, sorry about that. I don't know what that happened. Then you would be able to invest in that and you support it.
Yeah, most likely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if I'm a startup listening to this and I want an investment from you guys, how do I start? And let's say I don't live in Stockholm, I live really far away, and I don't really have the money to even go to Stockholm. Can I just email? What do I do?
Like Södermalm.
I mean, our preferred... our preferred way would be that you go on nordcranfoundation.org and you find the place where it says apply for an investment. So that's our preferred route, that each entrepreneur that's looking for financing goes through our application. But in reality, we get approached in all different kind of ways. LinkedIn, cold emailing, introductions, etc.
And I think, have someone approached you through Instagram? That happens to me. I was like, I think that is very creative.
Yeah,
first the email, if they don't get a reply, LinkedIn, if that doesn't work, Instagram. And then I'm like, wow, you're keen, that's cool.
I had someone chase me on WhatsApp the other day. I'm like, how did you find my number here?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, see, someone really wants your attention.
Yeah. I love the entrepreneur persistence. Yeah.
Great. It's very important.
It's really no shame in chasing investors. So that's
good.
It says a lot about the personality if you sort of don't give up to a certain extent.
Yeah, just don't wait outside of doors.
Exactly.
That's not persistent. That's
scary.
Weird. Yes.
That's right.
Okay, so through the website, but you get approached in every way. But I know that when you were on the panel that we met the other day, you talked about where my introduction is always the best option, but not everybody has the right contacts. Can they still be seen by you?
Absolutely. And that's one of the, I know that over and over again, I hear this, you know, don't bother if you don't get an introduction. And I truly believe that it's not true, that if you have a really interesting business idea, and if you have really great first user attractions, investors are going to pick it up. It's just what you have to do is then do the cold approach, but really make the headlines so clear that the investor wants to pick it up. So I really think that it's not a waste of time to cold email, cold call, or approach the investors in any way you can think of.
You have a point there. Just be very clear in your email what it is that you want.
Mm. Yeah,
because I know that a lot of people contact you through LinkedIn or email, and it's not maybe always clear what it is that they want.
No, sometimes it's kind of foggy, and I've been around for a while, but still wondering about this other email the other day. Yeah,
yeah, sometimes both of us, we need to reply. Yeah. This is great, but how can I help? Why are you contacting me?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but I like what you say, and I totally agree with that. If when it is an idea, or when it's easy to conceive or understand what it is, then I will always pick up the phone, and I will always answer. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your horizon for your VC? Is it 5 years, 10 years for companies to do an IPO, or get bought by someone else?
We have a quite long time horizon, given that we understand that it takes time to create the impact. So we're typically looking at 10 to 15 years. Which is a lot longer than
that's
than
a long
industry
time
average. Yeah.
Well, it's I mean, if you look at the VC's trends right now, you look at 10 years plus 1 plus 1, and then they started 1 plus 2 plus 1 plus 3. And then you look at the PE industry, and you see that they're raising funds for 15 to 20 years now, because you can't expect fast results. Mm. I mean, good things will have to take some time.
Yep.
So that's really great. But you don't have an evolving fund or a green you have a real VC fund. So it will actually cease to exist in 15 years.
Yeah, the first fund.
Yeah, the first fund. Yeah, that's right. You can always raise a second fund, of course. Yeah,
we're really hoping that this is just the beginning.
Of course it is. Yeah.
So for someone who's listening to this, having a startup, thinking, maybe this is impact, maybe, what will you not invest in? So it's very clear.
We will not. Many times we see a lot of opportunities of companies that are pitching to us saying that, you know, we'll give away 10% of our profits to charity, or what we call the Tom Shoe model, you know, buy a pair of shoes and then give one away for free. Mm. We do not invest in that. What we invest is really where you're fundamentally disrupting something in a value chain that needs disruption. Mm. So we would not invest in these giveaway charity cases. Mm.
I think also scalability is worth mentioning here. And so we're focused on tech investments, and that is usually software solutions. And why we think that is so important is that we're hoping to enable an impact unicorn, so a business that positively impacts 1 billion people. And to really get that effect, you need to have a super scalable business model. So
I love that vision. So say that again. So the unicorn in your term, what is that?
So it's a company that positively impacts 1 billion people.
Wow.
That's really cool. Did you guys come up with that, or is that an expression that I've missed out on?
I would like to say we coined the term, but I don't know.
Not 100% sure, but it's definitely in Norskan's DNA.
Yeah. Yeah, but the best test for is this an impact company or not is to really ask yourself, could the company switch off the impact element somehow, magically, one day down the line? And if the answer is yes, you know, it's easy to say, like, I'm not going to give away 10% of my profits anymore, or I'm not going to buy, you know, biodegradable sources anymore. But the true impact cases, you can't switch it off. It's so embedded in the business model. And that's the best test.
That was a really good test. The acid test.
Yeah, because I think for some people, it seems to be very unclear what impact is. And hiring both men and women is not impact. And also, I got an email the other day where there is a company they were starting. So they want to make sure, and just want to be clear, like, this isn't really impact. They said, well, we don't want to hire a stereotypical man 30. And I was like, okay, that's cool. We also want to hire people that are overweight. And I was like, wait, what now? I was like, this is not it. What? This is just weird.
Oh, okay. I thought I just had a chance to get this job.
Oh, what the
damn.
The thing is, when you get an email like that as an investor, when someone says, we want to hire people of all origins, it's like, yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's just, that's the thing. It's not social entrepreneurship anymore. That is just fucking common sense. Yeah. Excuse me for cursing. But yeah, but I don't think we can talk about entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship in the same way anymore. Mm. Because if you are doing something douchebaggy, nobody will want to invest, even if there's a return of investment. Maybe no. some will, but most people won't, because you want to invest in stuff that will actually have a positive impact on the world.
Yeah.
Small or big.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've never heard any investor in the world say, I really want to invest in bad companies.
So no, but fine if you want to invest to make a lot of money, right? Mm. But today, if someone were to offer to invest in, energy that isn't clean or whatever, it would be weird.
Well, they're building new battery factories in Poland right now, powered by coal. Mm. So, you know, there's a difference between batteries and batteries, trust me. Yeah. In Sweden, we have water power. They have coal power. It's different.
Yeah, but if someone were to say in Sweden, was that we think we should go back to coal. We should do that. Mm. Do you want to invest? Wait, what? No? Mm. It's just weird. We don't want to invest in unclean or douchebags. I have a non-douchebag policy. I've talked
you
about that
before. You might want to talk to one of these government agencies we have in Sweden, actually. We'll talk about that later on. Can do some crazy investments.
Yeah, but do you get what I'm saying? It's just like, it's very unclear sometimes for people what is impact and what is not. And saying I want to hire people from different origins, that is not impact. That's that is just common sense.
Sector. So exactly. I got to ask something else. So the investment part, that's what you guys do. And then you have all these people around Norrsken House. And do you get a lot of people who are there and they're like, I don't know, instead of becoming a nun or something, they come to Norrsken House? I mean, do you get some crazy people there, or do you get only sane people? Or I mean, this is, yeah, and I have to ask, because for the rest of us in the investment community, we would guess that, we've seen this in a couple of other places, co-working places, where you ask yourself, are they really entrepreneurs, or are they really on something after school? I'm not really sure. Do you get real entrepreneurs, I guess my question is?
Well, I think all entrepreneurs are a little bit insane in some shape or form. They have to be.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. No, but we really get a huge diversity of entrepreneurs. And especially if you talk about the impact investing space, there's a, you know, I'd say that it's probably, 50-50 split between entrepreneurs that don't think of themselves as social entrepreneurs, and they just come from business finance background and are just happen to be in the space, and the other half are others that are more driven from
by
the impact
the
side
that
they they've worked in the nonprofit space or governmental space or so on, and now they've turned into the entrepreneurs. So it's either or.
Yeah, because you are gathering a lot of people. You came in a very short time, and we invested already in 13 companies. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work in 1 year already. So you guys are really, really hardworking, and the people I met around your Norrsken House and everything, they've been really serious and passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah, they're super committed.
They are.
Yeah. We've had some Norrsken companies here, Clarity, Competencer, and I've tried to get Niklas to come here, but no. Hint, hint, hint.
He's busy trying to help the entrepreneurs.
The world.
The world.
Great, but since you just started out, I guess you don't have any companies have done an IPO or sold yet, right?
No, not yet.
Is that the purpose, by the way? I mean, will these companies do exits?
Yeah, we think so. We do think that, businesses that perform well will, of course, do exit at some point, and we really hope that we'll have some of those in our portfolio.
Great.
And the way there are investors out there that are very actively pushing for exits that they have to happen after X years, I mean, we have the benefit of having a longer fund, but also our philosophy is really that as long as the business performance is good and as long as the business is growing, there are always ways to liquidate your investment, to crystallize your return. The company doesn't necessarily have to IPO. It doesn't necessarily have to be sold. Mm. If the business is doing well, there's definitely a secondary buyer out there who will want to buy your stake if you want to crystallize your return. And
that's really interesting, and that's a trend that we've seen in the US quite a lot, where you can buy secondaries, because most of the value of a company nowadays are done before you actually go public or doing the IPO. And we'll probably see more of that in Sweden, but we have seen it in Sweden already. We are seeing it in Sweden. And I guess looking at, for instance, Niklas himself, he probably did a lot of his money that way as well.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. In sort of the companies, as you mentioned, like if we have any exits, we don't have any exits yet, but we definitely have companies moving in the right direction that since we invested in early stage, they've gone on to raise Series A and some are going on to raise Series B. So we definitely see the positive trend. Mm. And it's interesting within those companies that do move to the Series A, Series B stage, we see a lot of the early seed investors, smaller angel investors, taking the opportunity to crystallize their returns because from seed to Series A or Series B, that can already be a 4x return, which is fantastic if you're an angel investor and you've delivered a 4x in 2 years.
Well, this is so looking at the Swedish or the Nordic ecosystem, coming back, me being a small business angel, I usually describe myself as the small algae eater in the right corner of the aquarium, somewhere in the small corner.
Oh my God, you're so humble.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But compared to these guys, you know. But having said that, one of the things that we're missing in Sweden is really the liquidity of that capital. So what you're saying makes me really, really happy, because some investors in the past never wanted to let the angels go and get those 3x, 4x, 5x, but they wanted them all the way through, which stopped them from investing in new companies and going back again. Now, of course, we did one or two parties on the way, but then usually was some money left to go back and invest again. But do you see that this is, so you're saying that you see this happening more and more now?
Definitely more and more. And I think it's extremely, extremely important because we need more angel investors. I mean, having very healthy angel investor ecosystem is fundamental for a thriving startup ecosystem. And in the end of the day, you know, if suddenly you're making a lot of money in real estate, then everyone wants to run to real estate. And if we have the role models where angel investors are making 4x in 1 or 2 years, that means that they'll tell their friends and then their friends start invest in startups. And some of those will fail inevitably, but that spreading of the word and role models is super, super important. So we need that.
That is really interesting.
I love that you're saying healthy angel investors. I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
no, but it's true because it's just, I mean, not angel investors are amazing people you want to deal with. It's just, it's people. Sometimes people are amazing and sometimes there are the few that you don't want to work with. Yeah. And so thank you for saying healthy, because that is
We want to work with the healthy.
We do, yeah. Angels. I mean, I've had this conversation with all startups that I've had something to do with, that, you know, pick and choose your angel investors. Don't take this amount of money now because you really need it, but that person is not really going to work out for you because you will not get rid of him or her. Then you're stuck forever, and it's like a dysfunctional family relationship where
it's,
you see
not
each
healthy.
Other no and you see each other a few times a year, right? And it's like that awkward Christmas when you have that awkward meeting.
Let's not get too personal here.
No, but it is because you will not get rid of each other.
Yes.
Super important decision to choose your right investors.
Right. Yeah. And another thing, so what can you offer that other VCs can't?
Yeah. So, I mean, first and foremost, it is the impact angle. So with every investment we do a very thorough impact due diligence. And I think that really puts a stamp of approval on the business and the business model. So that's, the businesses and the entrepreneurs and also the other co-investors typically like that we sort of hold that flag in the business also after the investment. So that's one sort of unique selling point with Norskin.
Yeah, because we hear that entrepreneurs say that having that impact stamp really helps them to recruit people, because today a lot of young people want to work in impactful companies, and as well it helps them to attract other investors. So that's probably the most important difference. But again, since Norskin being an impact, everything we do is about impact. It's sort of a natural self-selection of people, and what a lot of entrepreneurs have told us, that they feel that we get a lot more personal with them, that we're really along for the journey in a much more personal way, and that also makes us very different.
And
from
then
others.
There's also a massive place where you can sit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and hang out with other people.
We really try to put them in the limelight. So really, we really want them to be the rock stars of our time. Because if we can make them the rock stars, then we'll have more people graduating from the top universities around the world and, you know, going out to start an impact startup and help make the world a better place.
If you invest, are you required to sit at Norskin?
No.
No. So is there any companies that you invest? Oh, well, except the UK company. I was saying, if there are Swedish companies, it's most common that they do sit there, right, though? I mean, I would, because it's a fun place.
It is a really fun place, but it's probably optimal when you're between like 3 to 10 people. When you're more than 10 people, it's a little bit more efficient to have your own office space.
For sure. So then you kick him out. You're like, you are fully grown.
We tell them that they graduate.
Good luck.
I mean, for us as an investor, we're so, so lucky to have a house attached to the fund, because it becomes the best sourcing place. That sometimes if we meet an entrepreneur that we like the idea, we like the business, but it's still a bit too early for them, we'll say, you know, please come sit in the house, because then we can really get to know you, we can help you, we can coach you, and then one day we'll invest in you. And we've done these cases. So as an investor, I think other investors are jealous of us having that house attached to us, because it's just, you know, you never get a chance to do due diligence for 6 months, but if they sit in the house, we get that chance.
Yeah. And you said coaching. Is that something that you do?
We definitely offer a lot of help to all the entrepreneurs, and of course from our own backgrounds and expertise. But we also have a very active advisory network. So anytime that any of the entrepreneurs that we're in touch need to address a specific topic, we'll always tap into the resources around us.
See, this is something that I mean, Ted, you've been doing this way longer than I have. But before, when I heard about VCs, I thought they were a bit scary. When I went to events with VCs, I'm like, oh my God, all these people that know so much and are finance and they're so cool. And why am I in this room? But now when you get to know all the VCs, it's like, you guys are so cool. For sure. And so friendly, like, and really want to help people out. And especially now with your angle, with the impact and everything, and really caring about the company, and you want the company to be healthy and then grow from that baby to somewhat a teenager and then kick them out to their own office, but still be there for them. It's like parenting, which is cool, right?
In a way. But we really, and again, I think, you know, we don't think of ourselves as the heroes in the room. It's really the entrepreneurs. And every time that I meet that special entrepreneur, I'm like, oh my God, they're so cool. They're way cooler than we'll ever be. But they're the real heroes.
They can make it without us, but we can make it without them.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's very true. But I agree with you. It's a privilege to work with these bright people and with these passionate ideas, so things that we could never come up with on our own.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there something else that you want to add before we finish for today, so all of our listeners will know everything about you?
I think one point to add is that, you know, Norskin and all our portfolio companies are constantly looking for people to join this journey. So if you're interested in working in this space, you can also go to our webpage and you can find all the career opportunities there.
Tour with you guys?
Yeah.
I'm in. Oh my man, that would be fun. No, I love working with you, Ted. It's so much fun. Okay, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Great to have you here.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på Investpodden med Ronja och Ted. Glöm inte att följa våra sociala medier, Instagram, Facebook och Twitter. Och vi vill såklart höra ifrån dig. Så hör av dig till ronja@investpodden.se. Ha det bra, vi hörs. Hej!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And
it's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.